Morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's been a long time since I've stood in front of anyone and talked, so I'm actually pretty nervous. But hopefully it'll be coherent this morning. Can I have a slide? It's been really great to be back home, and it's been 2 years this time since we've come back, and 2 years is a really long time away from home. I think at the end of the year, definitely Davina and I both felt we're tired, we just want to go home and sleep in our own bed, and America's just too comfortable, and but yeah, it's been a really good time back, and being able to rest a lot. So, I'm going to give a little overview of what we've been doing these last 2 years, and then Davina will have a little more sharing after that. So where we're working is Hualien, Taiwan. This is Hualien County in red, and it's very small. But because we drive slower there, it takes about, we live like on the northern side of it, in Hualien City. It takes about maybe 1 hour to drive to the top of the county, 2 hours down to the south side of the county. And this is our black car that God gave us. It's the smallest seven-seater we could find so that it's easier to park when we're driving around in the city. But actually, we stuff more than seven in there sometimes, especially when we take a lot of kids. And oh, you can see the kids up there. Or a lot of the teachers and our coworkers, if we have to drive around, it's not so convenient to have to take the train or take the bus. And so that's our car that God gave us that we can do ministry in. Oh, I don't have a remote control. That's okay. Next. So there are about five, I picked five areas of ministry that we've been working in this last few years. There's many other little things we do, or Davina serves in church, but so we'll try to keep this organized. Five. The first place is Faithful Love Boys Academy, and they have about 55 boys there. Their backgrounds, or their age ranges from maybe 10 to 18 years old. And their backgrounds range from some are orphans, some their parents are in jail, and or some they have domestic violence at home or their family can't take care of them, so they come to live at this home. And about maybe a third of the group, they're usually middle school or high school, they've actually broken the law. And they can, instead of spending maybe 6 months to a year in the juvenile detention center, they can apply to live at this home instead and spend 1 to 2 years there. And so the main things that we do with them are maybe teach them some music, some piano lessons or some violin lessons, and we have some of our Taiwanese friends who go and play basketball with them. And a lot of it's just spending time with them, building relationships with them. We don't teach their school classes, and we see them maybe about once a week. But through the relationship that we've built with them, we found that at first we were like, why are we started as us two girls and then some more girls, and we're like, why don't we have guy coworkers? And eventually God brought us some guy coworkers to go with us. But we're thinking, what are we doing at a boys' home? Why aren't we at a children's home? Or why aren't we working at a girls' home? We really want to start all these Bible studies with girls, and it just never ended up working out. But in the end, we see like God really has given us quite a voice here, and we build a lot of relationship with the teachers, and they give us a lot of freedom and trust. And so one of the things we realize is as a girl, as they haven't really learned how to be respectful of girls, and they don't know how to interact. They either, when we first went there, they'll just give you like the death stare, I'm like, who are you? What are you doing here? I don't care what you want to teach us or whatever. But and then we see them soften a lot, and they just want people to show that they care. And through the last 4 or 5 years that we've been there, they've built a lot of trust with the kids too. And yeah, next slide. I'll tell you about a couple of them. So this one on the left, his name's Dwayne. Well, we named him Dwayne. His name's Jai. But the first day we went and we had them all introduced. So what's your name? What's your name? And they're all being really difficult. And he's like, my name's Dwai Dwai. And it's like this Chinese sound for like the consistency of Jello or something. And he's like, my name's Dwai Dwai. We're like, fine, we'll call you Dwai Dwai. So we called him Dwai Dwai all these years. And we finally named him Dwayne. But one summer, he was working at this hot air balloon in Taitung. Or no, not in Taitung. Just hot air balloon in the area that they live in. And he came back at near the end of summer, and he's like, actually, I think I really, he told the teachers, and he shared with us, he's like, I really need to quit. I need to quit that job. And we're like, why? He's like, because the working environment's so bad. He's, I think he's going to be a senior this year because through working, he was smoking, and probably when the boss took him out, took all the workers out, they probably drank too. He knew it wasn't a good environment for him, and he knew that, like, it's getting worse and worse, and his smoking addiction is getting really bad. The school tries to, or the home tries to help them, like, quit if they want to, or help, they don't let them smoke while they're at the home, and they'll get in trouble if they do, but they always find ways around it. But then realizing that even, you know, how many times have they heard, don't smoke, quit smoking, like, they know this, they know all their teachers tell them, but... So this day, he just opened and came and shared with us. And we're like, well, okay, you know what's right. You know what you should do. And he's just like, well, I don't have enough motivation to quit, or I just can't do it. I kind of want to, but I kind of don't want to. And so we'll joke with him and be like, you know smoking makes you really ugly, right? And your teeth get really disgusting. And they always care about what do girls think of them. They're like, he's like, I know. Well, okay. But so as a way to encourage him, we had been helping the year before a girl to quit drinking, and it was pretty difficult for her. And she actually had this dream one. Divina helped her a lot and spent a lot of time with her, gave her a lot of accountability. But she had this dream one day. She was at 7-Eleven. There's this wall of alcohol and this wall of yogurt. And, like, yogurt was one of her ways to, like, when she felt like drinking, she'd just drink a lot of yogurt and, like, try to not, to satisfy her cravings. And so she said in her dream, she saw her hand reach out and grab a bottle of alcohol or whatever it was. And then she saw Davina walk over, take it out of her hand, put it back, and grab some yogurt and put it in her hand. She's like, that's the dream I had. And so we told him about this dream and told him about her struggles and said, don't let smoking be this idol in your life when you feel stressed, when you feel like whatever, however you feel, you're depending on this thing that cannot satisfy, cannot help you. What you really need to do is depend on God. And so we just encouraged him. We decided we'd bring him yogurt every week and, like, how many days have you gone without? And then all this. So, like, this just kind of through all these, building relationship with all these kids. There's 55 of them, and, like, we know them all, like, spend time with all of them one-on-one as much as we can. And especially when we can bring some of our other teachers to go work with us. Like, there's so many boys, but, like, how, wherever and however you can invest in them. And so that's Dwayne. This one, this is Jay and his younger brother, Junior. They came to the home maybe about over a year, and they're pretty little. Even though they came when they're fourth and fifth grade, they're, like, really tiny, and they're Taroko tribe aboriginals, and I don't know exactly their family circumstance, but basically their family can't take care of them. And I know for them at that age, like, nothing can replace family, even when they have, like, their little events, and, like, he's just hoping his dad will come, but he doesn't, and it's just sometimes really heartbreaking. But this year, Jay, the one right here, the older brother, he graduated from elementary school. And so one day we're there on a Wednesday night, and he's like, I'm graduating on Friday. Can you come to my graduation? And I was thinking, actually, I think I can. I think I can go in the morning and get back in time for work. I was like, okay, I'll come. And then so he was there, and just I felt like, I have to drive, like, an hour to go see him, and then, like, this boring graduation. But it's okay. I spent the time to write him a little note in Chinese, and it took me that long. But just he was really happy, and I was thinking, why does such a small action mean that much to him? And then, so actually, I was talking to my mom before I came home this summer, and, like, we came home really late because we went on a trip with the boys' home. But she's like, maybe you should pray again, because, like, the timing and then the tickets and everything is just, like, makes the schedule really messy this summer to stay for that trip with them. And so as I was praying, she's like, go back and pray about the trip again. So as I prayed, this was what happened. And, like, after that day, I heard God tell me, like, you are, like, family to them. And so, yeah. And so, like, that's basically, we give them love and give them truth whenever and wherever we can. Okay, next slide. So every year they go on a unicycle trip. They all learn unicycle at the home. And it's a type of, or their philosophy behind that is, like, something that's really challenging for them, something that normal people don't really do, something that's really, really hard, actually. But they have the experience of when you fail again and again, but you keep trying until you succeed. And then every year they'll take them on a trip. The first time they did a trip all the way around Taiwan, and then in the subsequent years they would take some of the islands around Taiwan and then go and do trips there. So the last 2 years we've gone with them. last year was Mazu, and this year we went with them to Jingmen. And it's just really, really great to see them and encourage them. And Monza was really, really hilly and steep, and seeing them work really hard and then not complain at all and just push through and like as a challenge that they know they're challenging themselves and then also that they can succeed. And especially since these kids, like, in school, in schoolwork, and in life, like, in their family, they're known as, like, the kids that were caught and taken away sometimes. Or, like, people know, like, they don't live with their families. They all get bused to school in this van. And so often we see, like, discouragement and lack of courage, I guess. Or, no, wait, hold on. Lack of just, like, when they feel, like, lack of confidence. They can't succeed. Like, they're like, we know we're bad students, so we don't even try studying anymore. But, like, anything that can challenge them to know, like, if I work hard, like, I can do something else. I don't have to be stuck in this. I can't do anything. I can never succeed. And look at all the other people who are different from me. And so, last 2 years we went on this trip. The really dark photo, it's kind of hard to see. I didn't put up another photo of him, but his name is Jack, and he's actually an orphan. He's been there for maybe 6 years, but he's really funny, always really crazy, really naughty, and disruptive in class, but always makes us laugh anyway. This tunnel here is really steep and really wet, but one of the teachers said, if any of you can ride your unicycle in one breath up this thing, we'll give you like 3 days of you can go out on vacation. And like usually for them, that means if they have family, they can go back and visit their family. The teachers will drive them or take them on the train, whatever. But then Jack doesn't have any family, so he's like, and he's probably one of the best at the unicycle. So he turns to me and goes, hey, if I win this, can I come and play at your house for 3 days? And the dude's like, of course. But he only made it halfway, which was really hard already. But just like knowing that, I don't know, not knowing what God is always doing, and like that every little thing, every time, all the time we spend with them, sometimes I'm just like, I don't even know if we're doing anything. Why do we just play board games with them today? Was that even investing in their lives? But knowing like that God uses everything. Okay, hold on. Next slide. Oh, right. So at the Faith of Love Boys Home, they can stay there till they're 18. Or or if they're doing time, then they stay there till their time is done, and they try to transition back into society. And so this year we had many former Faith of Love students and current Faith of Love students. We would have a Bible study at our house a few times on a Saturday night. It wasn't the most successful because our Chinese is not quite good enough. But it's still a time where we sing together and do study the Bible. And every single time they come over, they're always really happy. If they're not at the home, or if they are at the home, they're happy they can go out because the home is in a remote area with nothing fun. And then, or if it's the bottom left, there are 3 boys that left the home already, and they struggle a lot through trying to keep a job, or sometimes if they're irresponsible, they don't have enough money for food, but it was their responsibility. And so if they come over, we'll feed them, and they usually can sit there and sing and play songs for like an hour, singing praise songs. It's just, I guess the way they grow up in the home, that's one of their ties to God and also to the feeling of home at the Voice Home. And so we pray for them and encourage them and try to help them to go on the right path. But sometimes we'll also be like, okay, we fed you, so can you pull our weeds? Can you wash our car? And then we found that actually that's another thing that like we're able to just like, in a sense, teach them indirectly. But they themselves find that if they just take, you know, we feed you, we take you out for fun, we take you out to the beach, and like that's just that. But when they are able to give back, they're actually very happy to do it, very willing. Sometimes we don't even have to ask, and like we had them over for afternoon on Sunday, and they'd be like, hey, we can wash your car, and we'll clean your thing, and we'll pull your weeds, don't worry about it, and we'll plant your tree. And like Davina's still like looking for something to do, like we can hang out together and play. They're like, we don't have time to play, we need to plant your tree. Why are you still wanting to play? But they learn to be responsible and learn that it's better, like, that they have the strength to be able to help others, and that it brings them joy and fulfillment to actually be able to give and do that too. So Yeah, so our home has had many visitors this year, including these boys. All right, next slide. Okay, so that home is in Gwangfu, which is about an hour south of where we live in Hualien City. This home, the Mustard Seed Boys home, it's in Hualien City. And so we don't have to spend the weekends to go, or we don't have to just go on the weekends. We can go during the week. So we go and teach English class once a week. And sometimes we play lots of games because otherwise they won't be that interested. In this game, they're trying to run away. And it's pretty dangerous, and I don't know if their teachers knew they did that. But and through teaching them, at first some days I'm like, what? Why are we even teaching English? Like, if their Chinese and their math is not good, like, what is teaching them a little bit of conversational English going to even help them? Like, I don't even know if, like, how much, like, we teach them English, but conversational English and what they're, like, trying to pass their test in school is totally different, too. Or taking, like, entrance exams for college, those English tests are really horrible. But, like, sometimes I'm like, why are we even doing this? But again, it's about the relationship. And I don't have a picture of him, but there's this boy named Max. And he's actually been in Davina's English class for probably 4 to 5 years. And just starting from the beginning, because they don't actually learn to read phonetics. They don't, many or different age levels, they haven't taught them phonetics in learning English. They use the KK, which is kind of like the stuff you find in the dictionary instead. But so since Davina started him there, and then all of a sudden, like, he just caught in, like, I can do this, I can read everything, and he himself took his English level to another level. And then so one day, actually, one of our friends, he's a Taiwanese friend of ours, and I was like, is it really even worth it to work on these conversational English with these kids when their grades are horrible, like they're in the single digits sometimes, or maybe in the 20s, and they just don't pass. But he's like, actually, yes, if their grades are that bad, then, you know, maybe they won't even, like, if they don't make it to college, they may graduate high school and go find a job. But what was one, like, really, something that really helped them in finding a job is if they can speak English, like, then they can work at many more places with that skill. So it's like, oh, okay, all right. So we have this class there once a week, and it's been really great. And also, during the summer or during the holidays, we'll go and maybe bake cookies with them and play games with them and just take a team of whoever wants to come with us and just spend time and invest in these kids. Okay, next one. Oh, so that's number one, number two. This is number three, Serenity Village. It's an Aboriginal Turoko village, and one of our good friends in church actually lives here. She was working in the city, but then God called her to go back and work with her own people. So she moved back to this village. And this is Joanna over here. She taught in Taiwan for a year and a half, and we almost went there every week. We started on Wednesday nights, and then later we went to Saturday mornings. And as I was saying, we can stuff our car quite a bit there and take the kids up. And so we'll spend some time, usually tell them a Bible story and just teach them a little bit, play a lot with them, play basketball, play soccer, frisbee, anything that they can do. And they're really active, really crazy, really bad students. And the first few times when we went, we had this little room, and like at least to try to confine them in this room, but they'll just run around like crazy. I'm like, quiet down. No, they won't. I'm like, please sit down. No, they won't. And I'm just like, just don't break anything, please. And there's this little piano there. We'll sing with them and teach them some songs. But in the last year, there's a couple. There are many kids will come in and out, but there's a couple of families that we work with their kids. One, there's like about five of them. Some are brothers, some are cousins, and another one they have eight kids in their family. So whenever they're free, we'll just go pick them up and then take them to play. But there's three of those kids. They are the ones that really came consistently. And I remember at the beginning, like, they would go out of control. And at the very end, I'd be just really stern with them, be like, how do you think you guys were today? Do you think I'm happy about that? And then they'd still be like, ah, and I was just like, I don't know if I can come back next week. But then as we work with them week after week, whether through Bible stories, sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't think they even remember anything I told them. But then I find they do. They're like, yeah, I remember that story you told us about David and the big guy and, you know, something like that. But as we work with them, we try to really instill in them, like, we can't always be there for you, but God will always be with you. And teaching them to pray and teaching them just about life, teaching them not to bang the car doors on the wall and teaching them not to climb all over the car while we're driving and every little thing. And so I noticed one time towards the end of the year, the three of them got into a fight and they're probably about to break something. And then I was a little upset, so I said, "You three, come stand right here." And then they're so good. They came and they stood and they looked really like guilty and sorry. And they listened to me lecture them for about a couple minutes and then they're like, "Sorry." And I was thinking, they've changed so much. Like, they wouldn't even listen to me when I was angry before. But now, like, they'll listen and their behavior is changing. And so with these kids, their hearts are always just super open to love. And anytime you want to spend time with them, they'll just open themselves up and listen to everything you say. And so they're very precious kids. There's this, Soyundi Village is Soyun. So, like, it's towards the mountains and there's the rivers coming down from the mountain. And so sometimes we'll go play in the river with them. And I had wanted to put up this picture, but often the boys, when they go play and they weren't ready to play, they just strip naked and we're like, ah! But I didn't put that picture up there. And, yeah. Those are our village kids. Okay, next. The other very time-consuming part of our life is we have people in our house all the time, whether it's all the teachers in Hualien, or look, Amber visited us, or teachers from the Philippines or from other parts of Taiwan, and they'll usually come visit us and go with us to the boys' homes or to the villages and just see what we're doing and also think about what they're doing, what they want to do. And some days we have many, many, many people in our house. But we realized, like, this is one of the ministries that God has given us. He opened up this home that we rent from our friend and has given us this opportunity. And actually, one thing also this year, Davina and I actually fought a lot this year. But then one of our former coworkers, she sent us this article when we were having one of our bad fights. And it was on unity. And she said, she was talking to a missionary, a former missionary at a missions conference, and then the lady said to her, "What do you think is the number one reason why people leave the mission field?" And then, you know, she thought, "Oh, well, maybe burnout, maybe like family." But then she actually said, one of the biggest reasons is when you don't have unity. And we realized whenever Davina and I fight, like, this is gone. We're like, we don't want to have anybody over. We're not cleaning the house. We're not cooking for you. Don't even want to see you guys. And like, that's like one of the ways Satan attacks us at the core of our ministry. When we cannot resolve our differences, everything else. Like, we don't have motivation to go anywhere to do anything. And so, yeah, you guys can pray for us that we won't fight. We had to work through a lot of things this year, but as you see, like, when we work together, God really can do a lot. Okay, last. This is the team this year. Every year we have different English teachers coming through, and we have five English teachers and two of our Taiwanese friends. And this year, other years, sometimes the team's not so close. They'll go do their own thing or they'll go play. And but this year, somehow, the team was very close, very tight. So, like, the first semester, we spent a lot of time at our house every day playing games or just hanging out, watching movies together. And then about as we got to know each other better, and some people take a little longer, we decided, well, you know, we spend so much time together. Why don't we do a Bible study together? And so we did this book called Experiencing God, and it's by William Blackaby. It's like a book study, Bible study, but the main purpose is for, especially, like, it's really good for us as we're looking at all the things that we're working and all the things that we're doing. Where it's talking about, where do you see God working? How do you see God working? How do you see God working in your life, and how do you see God working through your life? And so as we work through this, maybe in the middle of it came to March, and usually March for the yearly teachers that come in and out every year, March people are winding down, getting a little homesick, and like, oh, you know, I'm a little worn out, I'm a little tired, I'll start winding down a little bit. Maybe, oh, I'm not so motivated to learn Chinese or all these things. But this year, around March, like, we were doing this study and just sharing with each other all the amazing things we see God doing. All of a sudden, well, we spend the whole year together, and then we just kind of dispersed in a good way. All of, three of the teachers, they got an opportunity to teach an English class at the Buddhist home for kids. And like, this is a place that we've gone to visit a couple times, but they're just very not open because they're Buddhist. And but they just got open to it and said, please, please, can you come teach English at our home? And then and Megan on the left, she branches out a lot with maybe like working people or college age in the city, doing one-on-one with them, starting with English and then just building relationships in their lives and seeing that even as it was a little sad because we spent less time with each other, but God just opened up doors for ministry. In the, like, even though it's just the last 3 months, they're busy all the time with all these doors that God opened. It's really amazing to see his work. And so this is where we also invested a lot of our time this year, in encouraging each other and investing in God's workers, basically. Okay, next. Okay, so what are we going to do in the future, I guess? Do you have enough time? The clock's a little fast. Okay, it is 10. Okay, all right. How much time did you need? Okay, sorry. I guess a couple of the things that we're thinking about for the future is helping them with their homework. As I said, a lot of them, they get really, really bad grades. And so this boy, Dustin, he, living at Faith of Love, he comes to school in Hualien City and lives in the dorms there. So no one's there to help him with his homework, really, kind of, or no one's there to make sure he has a discipline to stay on top of his homework or studying. And then we also realized that we would have him come over on Sunday afternoons and work on it, and we would help him with his English. We realized a lot of it's, well, some of it's discipline, some of it's just having someone there to, like, help him stay on top of it, and some of it's just, he doesn't even know how to study. Like, he'll stare at his English vocab words for, like, 15 minutes, or, like, what do you have so far? He's like, nothing, I can't remember any of it. But I'm, like, working him through some things, like using, saying them out loud, writing them, and quizzing him. Well, some of it's, he's not stupid, he's very smart. He learns very fast, he just doesn't know how to learn. So one direction for the future is hopefully we can find some ways to help them with their schoolwork. And next one is an orphanage that's been on my heart for a long time and just never had the opportunity to work with them. But this year we got to go visit them one time, and I just really love the kids there because they're really cute and they're really little and they're really open-hearted. And even though they, obviously their background is not that great, but they just were very warm. And yeah, so it's another, maybe another place that we will see about this year. Okay, last slide. So one of the things that God, one of the themes that God told me this year is he always watches over his children. These two, Jason and Michael, they're kids that we've met in the years past. Some of the more heartbreaking stories, and probably don't really have time to get into their stories today. But basically, family doesn't take care of them. They live on their own. They cook on their own. And even when they're really little, they just climb on a ladder, cook rice on the stove, and eat it. And so these two, and then as we, sometimes we see them through the years, whether we visit them, they live not in the city. So when we will see them, we don't even know. But we hear about them, and like Jason started stealing when he was in fifth grade, and Michael ended up in the juvenile detention center. But even though we knew their stories before these happened, and they're like kids that we loved, kids that we spent time with, and then we didn't see them for maybe a year or two. But Jason ended up being at the Mustard Seed Boys Home, and Michael is at Faith of Love. And so like the days that we saw them there, the first day, it's just like that God would be able to bring them there and that they can be able to grow there and find God's love there. And it's just really amazing to see, like, even when we don't know what's going on, even when we don't see and we, like, we don't know if we're doing anything, but that God always is watching over them. And even, so, yeah, so, I don't know exactly what to say, I guess. When we saw them at the homes, like, I think we almost cried because we see God will bring them through even the hardest times. So, okay.
Oh, I don't need this. I will be punctual. So I think I might skip my first point. No, I'm not going to. So basically, I couldn't prepare a sharing. Like, from the time I got back, from before we got back, you know, like, oh, Davina, you're going to go share. I love to share what's going on with our lives. I love to share about Taiwan. I love to say, come, like, please come. It doesn't matter. You're boy or girl or what age you are. Like, it'll change you. You'll love it. And because, like, God will work in you and God will work through you and will use you to bless people. And there's nothing more, like, there's nothing greater in your life when you know that God uses the little things that you do to be such a blessing to people. It's better than, like, seeking any thrill, anything. Anyway, so that's what I was going to say. Because, yeah, but then I feel like I couldn't say that this time when I'm back because that's not where I'm at. And I have trouble, and it's probably a good thing and a bad thing. I have trouble, like, sharing about things where I feel like that's not where my heart is right now. So this trip back, Chris was saying this last year, like, God used us to, like, and still uses us when we're a mess and fighting, and, like, God works miracles, but it's been a hard year, like, just personally, and then coming back, this trip has been really, really hard for, I'll just speak for myself, but, I mean, that's for Chris, too. It's been really, really hard. And what is it? Why is it that we're in the midst of doing things, like doing things, maybe even serving, like playing piano at church or like doing, I don't know, doing children's programs or whatever. But what is it when you're in the middle of doing this for God that you lose hold of God? How can you do that? How does that happen? Like what happens? You know, because I came back, I'm in a really bad, like, emotionally bad condition. Like, spiritually, I can't pray. I can't, like, how can you serve God when you don't pray? How can you share with people when you don't pray? So, like, this is what, basically, two lessons that's been on my heart. Through this year, through the summer, first one is, do you have a relationship? And I don't mean a relationship with people, but I remember a relationship with God. So even if it's like, if you think about your friends, there's friends that you were really close to before, maybe, and then you kind of lost contact. And they're still your friend, but you're not really close, right? So if you say, do you have a relationship? Maybe back then I can ask my friend for any favor, and they would do it. Any favor, right? Like, drive me 2 hours someplace. Okay, I could do it, no problem. But now we don't have that relationship. I can't ask them anymore because I don't talk to them. I don't spend time with them. It's the same thing with God. And I can be busy doing things for God and not, like, and lose hold of that relationship. So, let's just read it together. Yeah. Ready, go! So every time I hear this story, like, I think, God, I don't want to be Martha, but I'm so Martha. It's like the kids come over, we gotta cook the food. Like, what happened? Like, we gotta clean up, or afterwards. Like, there's just so many things to do, and so, like, what goes first? Usually, it's your prayer and your devotion time and your time spent. Like, even if you sit down to try to read your Bible or pray, it's like you're just like thinking about all the things you have to do. So, like, this is like really one of my biggest struggles. Always. And it, like, it doesn't matter what you're doing in life, what phase of life you're in. If you, like, we let that go. When the storms come, you have nothing. Like, you can't stand. Can we go to the next slide? Yeah. And, this one you can just read yourself. I don't think we have time to read everything out loud. But, I went to a class, at the International House of Prayer, and one of the big things that they emphasize there is really, like, if you do everything for God, you sacrifice your home, you leave your home, sacrifice everything for Him, but you don't have a relationship with Him, it means nothing. It really means nothing. And it's hard to hear it sometimes for me to remember. Like, I can do all these things. But if I don't know God, I don't know what his heart is. I don't know what he wants me to do. Like, there is nothing. Yeah. So this is one of the big lessons I've been learning this year. And this doesn't mean that I should stop, like, I shouldn't be in Taiwan anymore or anything like that. But the whole point is, like, what does God want me to do every step of the way? Which kids, which ministries, whatever, to get involved in. So that's the first big lesson. This is the second one. This is the main thing, actually. So next slide. So, if everyone just, like, read it. Basically, I've come home this time. And, like, what's on my heart? How do I feel? Basically, my endurance has patience, so has my hope from the Lord. And I've forgotten what happiness is. It's been so hard to see. It's not, like, my family issues, but not just that. Things that we see in Taiwan. There's definitely things, kids that we've been praying for, people we've invested a lot of time in. And you lose sight of what? Like, because the situation is bad. Those kids, like, poured in so much time and effort, and they're still bums on the streets. Just stick with that stupid 7-Eleven job. Why do you have to quit? You know? You have no money to eat. Call me and be like, "红姐，我没东西吃." Like a shower ball. Yeah. You know, and, like, just, I feel like, been worn dry. Why? Because of point number one. You lose hold of God, you lose hold of your hope. And so, like, for me, the second thing I've really been learning is, in the midst of darkness, and you can't see, we can go to the next slide. I guess I skipped that part. Uh-huh. Anyway, so it's something about the darkness in my heart. I feel like when everything around you is looking really dark, and it's, you don't know, like, it's, the road ahead of you looks impossible. What is it that we can hold on to? Why is it that we can hope? Hope has always been a hard concept for me. You know, I can, if I can see, like, there's this problem, I can fix it by doing this and this and this. If it's like, oh, I have a bad temper, what can I do about it? Okay, well, I can do this, this, and this. I can control that, right, in a sense. Something I can do about it. But there's situations you can't do anything. Well, it's not nothing, but you really, like, nothing I can say or change that will change the situation at all. And, like, in the midst of that, how is that you can hold on to hope? Find that it's easier not to hope. It's easier to just let your heart be a little cold. Don't pray. Like, if you pray, that means you have hope, right? You pray about it, it means, like, God, change the situation. I believe you can. That's hope. But that's why I have trouble praying, because it's hard to hold on to hope. So I don't know, like, what I wanted to encourage you guys today was, I don't know if there's situations, and it might not be even something like we even thought that God would be part of, like, changing. It's something about school or work or, oh, our church. Things that, like, we hope will change in church. Seems impossible because it has never changed. But what is it? Why is it that we can hope? Why is it that we can be vulnerable and hope? It's because that hope is not based on anything we see with our eyes but God. Because God is trustworthy. Our hope is in him and him alone. So when we can't see the light in front, the only thing we can hold on to, really, is the hope in God. So let's read this together. Yeah. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new, and they are new every morning. So faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. And for I will. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So in this passage, I feel like he doesn't tell us to do anything. Only thing to do, we wait before God and pray. Even if it hurts to pray. But, like, it's, what's the Chinese word is tupo. The only tupo. The only breakthroughs that I've really had ever is only when I go back to my knees. Maybe have to spend half an hour before I can even have that breakthrough. Go back to my knees and remember, like, my hope is only in Christ. The hope of these kids in their horrible situations is only in Christ. Hope for my family, for my life, for my future is only in Christ. So, no matter what the situation is. And even actually when Chris was sharing about those last two boys, I don't know, Daddy, if you could pull that up. It's too much trouble. Even for those last two boys, the boy on this side of the photo, he was a kid. It was really heartbreaking when I heard what was happening to him because we spent every week with him. He has such a soft heart. And then when I went and visited him after he started doing bad stuff and like breaking the law, he was so hard. Like, there's just no reaching him. But even in the midst of that situation, God still brought it around in his time. Brought him to the home. He was in my English class. He's really hostile to me, like in the middle, like before the change. But when he brought him to the English class, I saw him there. I was kind of shocked. I was like hoping and praying he'd end up at one of the homes. But when I saw him, I was a little shocked. And then I was like afraid to like get too close because I know that last time he was really like not because of him, but just like really hostile. And like he really softened up a lot. And I know that God did so much without me doing anything. Yeah. So, anyway, that's what I have to share, and I want to encourage everybody with today. Yeah. Okay. There's not time to play the song. Can we play it during the break? Is that not part of the schedule usually? Okay, I'm going to play a song called Give Me Faith, and you can just, like, maybe... I give the time to Uncle Tony, but maybe like just meditate on the words and really like the cry of my heart. So thank you.
Trust what you say. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We just say, Lord, we are broken.